We are on the Gimel Amud Beis right at the bottom. We're going to Chaf Dalamud of today, I believe. Right, so let's go to Mishnah. No, I'm right, right?
Yeah.
Hakori b'sora leyukleis mishlish pesukim. Somebody reads in the Torah, as we've already seen in the Gemara. So now the Mishnah is telling us you shouldn't read less than three pesukim. Right? And he shouldn't read more than one pasuk in a row if there's a Meturgaman. If there's somebody who's reading a Targum into Aramaic, right, then he shouldn't read more than one pasuk in a row. Yeah? So that people will be able to concentrate properly on the Targum, they'll be able to understand it, they'll know which word of the Targum corresponds to which word in the pasuk. If people understood Aramaic, they loved after understood Hebrew. Yeah? With a Navi Shlosha, when it comes to a Navi, you can read three Pesukim in a row. Hayu Shloshtan Shalosh Parshiyos Karen Echad Echad. But if they were each a Parsha on their own, sometimes you have a Parsha which is only one Pesuk. If that's the case, then you don't read three Pesukim and let the Meturgaman translate three Pesukim. You read one Pesuk and the Meturgaman will translate one Pesuk and so on and so forth. Yeah? Medalgin Benavi. In a Navi, you can jump around a little bit. The Ein Medalgin in the Torah, in the Torah you cannot jump around at all, you must read in order. Ve'ad kama u'medaleg, and how much can you jump? Ad k'desh le'yiftzei k'meturgaman. You can do it, you can roll the Navi as long as it takes for the Meturgaman to translate the Pasuk and explain in Aramaic. Right? Longer than that you cannot roll. Why? Because you're not meant to keep the Tzibra waiting. Right? Gemara. Ha'ani shleisha pesukin k'negan mi. Why three pesukin? Like we've already, this question was already asked, and now it's been answered, and now it's, we're getting the same answer as we got before, right? Torah, Nevi'im, Tzuvim, three different types of Torah, three Tzukim. V'lei yikra l'maturgaman yoser mi pasuk echad, and you shouldn't let the Meturgaman read more than, you shouldn't force the Meturgaman to translate more than one pasuk in a row. Of a Navi shlesh pesukim, and Navi can do three pesukim. V'im hayu shlesh and shalai parashiyos kore echad echad. But if there was three of them were three separate parashiyos, you read each pasuk separately with a separate targum.
What's an example
that happened? I was about to give an example. Ki ko amar Hashem elihim mitzrayim yarad imi berishana. V'ata malipoi ne'um Hashem. Three separate pesukim, the three pesukim in a row, which is a separate parasha. Medalgin b'Navi ve'ein medalgin b'Torah. Right, you can jump in Navi, but not in the Torah. You can't skip Sukkim in the Torah. V'ramini, we have a contradiction. Korei achrei mois v'ach v'asar v'halka medalig. We have a problem. On Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, after he's finished mois of the Karbonos, would come out with a Sefer Torah, and he would read the Torah to Am Yisrael. By the way, according to Moshe Rishonim, this is Dol Raisa. This is not Derabanan. Right? Sort of giving an accounting on what he did according to Rav Yah. He's saying, look, I did everything I was meant to be doing, I'm now going to read the checklist from the Torah and you can check that I did everything right. Right? So, right? How he says, he's skipping Pesukim, right? He's reading Achrei Mois, and he's reading Achrei Mois. Achrei Mois is which parasha? Which parasha is he reading from? Achrei Mois, right? From the end of the parasha. Yeah. Very good, it's a parsha in Sefer Yikra, and Ach Ba'asor is in which parsha? A little bit harder. Emor. Right? So he's jumping all the way from Achrei Mois to Emor. Right in the middle we have Kedoshim and, well, half of Emor. Yeah? So, isn't he jumping? He's not allowed to jump in the Torah. So Amar Abaye Leikashia Kan Bichdei Sheyisak Ramadurga Mekan Bichdei says Abaye, no problem. They would roll the Sefer Torah really, really fast, so that by the time the Meturgaman translator has finished translating that last pasuk, they would have rolled through two parshiyos.
50 or 2 hours.
Yeah. And bechdei means the amount of time, right? Veha Allah Kasani Medalgin Benavi and Medalgin Torah whoever Medalgin they should let you suck a Meturgaman. Michal to Torah. Wait, the Mishnah said that in the Navi you can skip and the Torah you can't skip. In the Navi, how much are you allowed to skip? Enough that people won't be made to wait because there was time during the translation to do the rolling, right? So doesn't that mean that you never skip a single pasuk in the Torah? That's the simple implication of the Mishnah. says, Ella Amar Abaye Lekashya Kan Bein Yonechad Kan Bishnein Yonim. Says Abaye, no, the real explanation is that when it comes to Achrei Mois and Ach Vasar, they're really totally the same thing. The special korbanos that are brought on Rain Paper. Achrei Mois is about how Aaron HaKohen or the Kohen Gadol would be able to enter the Kodesh HaKadosh and Ach bring certain korbanos, right? And Ach Vasar is korbanos Musaf of Yom Kippurim. The special korbanos of Yom Kippurim. Therefore, in such a situation, you can skip, provided you're not making people wait, because people aren't going to get confused. Right, but if you talk skipping between two completely different topics, that you can't do on Torah, you can only do during the Haftarah. Yeah? And the Gemara says, Tana idach, ein medalgin minavli lanavi, vinavi shal shneimasar medaleg, levilvaj shal leidaleg, asefer litchi losai. So, we have a brisa which says, Tana idach, right? This is an important ha'ara. The word Tana idach means another brisa. In Hebrew, in modern Hebrew, as some of you know, I'm sure, idach means alternative. The implication is something opposite, right? Something opposite to what we've already said. That is not the case here, right? Tani idach in the Gemara does not usually mean something opposite. In fact, it means something similar, right? A different source which has a similar thing, right? So here the same thing, right? You cannot be medaleg between two different neviim. However, when it comes to treyasar, right, the 12 neviim at the end of Navi, right? That's small Nevi'im. So those you can jump around between Nevi'im. They're written in one sefer and one scroll, and you can jump between different Nevi'im. However, you may not jump backwards. You can only jump forwards.
Do you hold up this?
Absolutely. We're all of the mice. Even we did, I think this one after all, we actually did it. I don't know which one it is, but we jump within Treyasar to a different Navi.
But with regards to the Torah portions.
We never jump around the Torah portions, it's not there. There is no such case.
But what about the
on the fast days, we also don't jump. Vayechal, is there a jump?
Very limited attack.
Oh, Nachman, there's a few psukim skipped in Vayechal.
Okay, you go.
What? Nachman, yeah. Okay. Nachman, I'm going to say. Yes, in the middle of Vayechal, there is a jump. Okay. It's the same Indian. The same topic. Very good. Mishnah.
When, so the same with regards to reading on the Treyasar, we can skip from one
Navi to another as long as you're going forward, not backwards.
Okay.
Right? The Gemara says from the end of the Sefer all the way to the beginning, Rashi just says it means going backwards. Right? Talking directionally, not the actual quantity of Pesukim you're skipping. Okay? Mishnah, Hamaftir ben Navi, hu poreis al shma, vehu oiver lifnei atoiva, vehu noise eskah. Somebody who is doing the Haftorah, then he can do poreis al shma. He can be poreis al shma. Does anybody remember what we said poreis al shma is? If you come to shul late, that at the end of davening, right, you go ahead and do kaddish, you get to yishtavach hayorin, say kaddish, say baruchu, then you start davening on your own Shemona Esri until you get to Kedusha, right? You say it out loud, and from there on you say everything quietly, right? To get the Dvarim Shebi Kedusha of that davening needs, right? So it's saying if somebody is maftir, he can be Paroi Sashma. Meaning what? If he comes to Shul late and they say, "Oh, we're going to give you an Aliyah," he can say, "Sure," right? Take the Aliyah and be Paroi Sashma afterwards. That's Mutter, yeah. And he can be. Excuse me. And he can be the shatz if, at some other play to point javening musaf or something. And he can do the siyas kapayim. In other words, he doesn't have to put all these things off so he can daven shachris.
Does that mean he could poreis al shma for shachris after he's been shatz for musaf?
Sort of sounds like, yeah. But the evidence this is true, by the way, we passing you on yotzei musaf in the lechatchi, you're really meant to daven musaf after shachris, because shachris is connected to the korban tamid, and musaf is connected to the musaf. The musaf was always done after the korban tamid. But the evidence we pass in the musaf if done before shachris is your yotzei, which leads in turn to a diyun in the achronim. What happens if you come in the middle of musaf? Should you daven musaf first? Right, which is also related to this discussion. Okay. And if he was a katan, aviv or rabo oivrin al yado. And if he's a katan, then either his father or his teacher should go with him. Make sure everything goes right. Right? Katan ko reva Torah or mitargim. A katan can read from the Torah, he can get an aliyah, and he can read the targum. Aval. Eino poroi sashma, veino avril sandeva. He cannot be poroi sashma, meaning he cannot say kaddish, he cannot say baruchu, right? And he can't be the shatz for Shmono Esra. Yeah, the reason why is because those things all involve being moitzi someone yedei chova. They all involve fulfilling somebody's obligation and things for them. Puros al shema and chazas shatz. Yes, and therefore a katan can't do it because he's not equally obligated, right? Because the chiyuv is only misham chinuch. So the ve'ena noise a kava, a katan should not do birkas kohanim. Ad kama shezachurli, the din is that he should not be noiseis kapav on his own. No. Yeah. The meaning of this more is that it doesn't mean that a katan can never be a do birkas kohanim. It means a katan should never do birkas kohanim on his own. If there's other kohanim present, then he can. Okay. Pocheach poreis al shma umetar game. Pocheach can be poreis al shma, and he can read the Targum. So pocheach is no. Oh yeah, somebody who's wearing shorts.
Pocheach,
yeah, well, his knees are showing. That's what it says. And you are. Okay, so right, someone who's wearing shorts may be poreis al shma. Right, meaning he can be a shatz. Right. He can read the Targum from the Torah. However, he can't read from the Torah. Why? It's not Kavadik. Ve'eino Evriyaz Ne'ateva, he can't be a Shatz for Shmone Esrei. Ve'eino Neitzei Eskapav, and he should not do Birkas Kohanim. So it should be noted, why not? It's not Kavadik, right? It's not formal dress. So a lot of the poskim say that Bisman Azeh, if you are in a place where it is formal dress, then this rule would not apply. Right? Specifically, the Dion comes up in religious kibbutzim, right? Because religious kibbutzim, they put on a white t-shirt for Shabbos, and that's pretty much it. That's the level of formal dress that they're acquainted with. So this is a very lamaisa discussion. Okay, Suma. Sorry? Yeah. Suma, having said that, you should avoid the we do parking lots. Mishnah, do not daven in shots, basically. Right? Suma. Poreis Eshma Omatar game. Summa, a blind person can bleed Kriyashma. He can say Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he can read the Targum from the Torah. Right? What's the implication? Can a blind person get Kriyas Torah?
What?
Can a blind person get Kriyas Torah? Sorry? The implication is that a blind person may not read from the Torah. The reason is obvious, because a blind person cannot actually read. Right? Having said that, the way we do Kriyas Torah B'Zman Zeh is a little different from the time they did in the Mishnah. The time they did in the Mishnah, the same person who said the bracha is the same person who read. Right? B'Zman Zeh, the minhag is that somebody will read the bracha, and then there'll be a Bal Kori who reads. Right? So, there is as a result of Diyun in the Achronim, can a blind person read from the Torah B'Zman Zeh? Because the blind person, the person who gets the aliyah, doesn't actually do the reading, right? He should read along quietly when he can read as a chumrah for Rosh, but even that, maybe mikra din is not different. Then not necessarily depending on which Rishon we pass him. Like, is he saying the bracha for the person who's doing the actual kriya, or is he saying the bracha on his own behalf, right? So it might be when I'm saying he's saying a bracha on behalf of somebody else, in which case he doesn't have to read from the Torah at all. Everybody follows. So as a result, this Dion Nechronim does come up. Rav Yaakov Emden, in fact, was made cool that a blind person may read from the Torah. Bisman Hazeh, may get an aliyah, Bisman Hazeh. Which number, if I remember correctly, was Machmir about this. Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Emer, Kol Shelei Ram, Meores Miyamim, Eino Paris Hashma. Rabbi Yehuda says, somebody who has not ever seen the stars or the sun, he was blind from birth, may not say, lead Birkas Kriyas Shema. Why?
Because it says that you have to see Yotzer Me'arav.
Very good. You can't say the bracha. Right? You don't know what you're talking about. Literally, you've never seen it. Okay. Gemara. My Taima. So, the Gemara asks... Give me... Right, why is it that somebody who's arrived in shul very, very late may read Maftir and then Haftarah and then lead Musaf and do Birkas Kohanim? Why not tell him? Just not daven already. Like, you can't an hour shul, late shul to daven, right? Says Amar Rav Papa Amar Mishum Kavod. Right? And we want to give him the honor, right? right? It's like he's doing something, like he's doing something dishonorable. He came shortly late. He's got to be dumping people. You know, someone said, no, we're going to say you should do the right thing instead. Right? Rabba bar Shimi amar mishum de asi le insuye. Right? There are people going to fight. If you tell somebody who just arrived in shul, right, that no, he can't have an aliyah because he just arrived in shul, then he's going to have a fight with somebody else about it. So better that he should have an aliyah than people should fight in shul. Right? Hey, maybe now, what's the difference? Iku binayu de'avad bechinam. Right? The difference, what's the difference between them? The difference between them is if he's being paid. Right? If he's being paid for everything, right, then is he likely to have a fight? If they tell him, let's do it this week? No. He's being paid. What do you care? But if he got it, if he was meant to be doing it for free, then it's like they're disrespecting him. Right, so that's not okay. Right? So it says, if he was a cotton, then his father or his teacher should go with him. So wait, if you're talking about fighting, if the concern is that people will fight, then a katan's not fighting. You know, a 10-year-old's not fighting with all the grown men in shul. That doesn't make any sense. Right? Ella, my mishum kavod, katan bar kavod, and then immediately. But wait, if it's to give people an honor, once again, it's just not derech eretz. You don't give katan a kavod instead of all the 20-year-olds in shul. That's just not the way it works, right? Ella, ika kavod, aviv v'chvod rabbi, hachanam yikinatzi, aviv v'radnatzi, rabbi. Rather, who are we really honoring? If you call up a katan with his father or his rav name, you're really honoring the father or the rav. Similarly, right? If they just got the shul and you were meant to call up the katan for something and you don't, then who's going to fight? Not the katan, the father or the rav, right? They're going to be the ones who are fighting. So one way or another, it's adults around who can receive the kavod or who can have a fight with someone. Baruch Hashem. Yeah.
So it is fine to give an aliyah if someone comes late.
The implication of the Mishnah there is an obvious implication in discussion that it was organized trying to get the aliyah before, right? Which makes a lot of sense because, like I said, remember we're talking about if somebody got an aliyah, he did his own reading, right? As opposed to what we do today, meaning firstly he had to be able to do it. Not everybody knows how, right? Not everybody knows how to read. Remember, the implication of all these Mishnayos and Gemaras is not everybody even knows Hebrew, let alone knows how to read from the Torah, right? And then he has to know the trop and he has to have it memorized. Right? So, there is... Clearly he's prepared. Right? He's somebody who knows how. He's somebody who's mechubed. He's somebody who's relatively important in the community. That we know right off the bat, because otherwise he couldn't... He wouldn't be knowledgeable enough. Right? And then there's the added point that he's clearly prepared. Right? Meaning he was told yesterday that he's going to be getting a Kriyas Torah today. So that's really the case. You know, it's very, very different bisman azeh. Somebody wanders into shul and you say, oh, you can have an aliyah. No, that's not the way it works. Right, that's not what we're discussing. I don't know if people should have it.
There's no
heter
for a blind person to be
allowed, correct? No. There is no heter for a that you can't read. No. A blind person can't read. So. There's no, as far as I know, there's no discussion. I mean, the mission is relatively explicit that a blind person can't. It should be noted, the same thing is true for, not Berkos Kohanim. Berkos Kohanim is just, if he doesn't go up to do Berkos Kohanim, it's very embarrassing. He's a Kohen, and people might actually think that he's not a Kohen, if he doesn't go up, right? They might think that he found out he's a Halal. As for Musaf, so once again, right, if you read the Gemara in the fourth Perek of Rosh Hashanah, the clear implication of the Gemara there is that not everybody knew how to daven. Right? People had to prepare davening. Im hayat filosei sgura b'piv. It's a line that appears there in the Gemara. If he knows the davening well. And these days, everybody knows the davening well. In those days, apparently, there are plenty of people who did not know the davening well. Now, again, this is tied to the fact that A, tefillos probably weren't written down. B, there's a big deal now among the researchers, the academic researchers. Was there a set text for tefillah at that time? Right, it might be there were sort of general ideas that have to be included in tefillah, but loved after specific texts. In which case, it would fall on the Baal tefillah to make up the davening as he went wrong. Long, he really needs to know what he's doing then, right? So again, there's an element of preparation. You have to be asked about dastardis in advance, which is, like I said, it obviously is different today. Good, gentlemen.